You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name's Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you create generational wealth, buy anything and afford anything you want in life by investing in real estate and become financially independent. And in today's show, this is part three of our four-part series where I'm showing you how to invest in real estate successfully and become an income builder. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, 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 what's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, today is the third, series in these episodes of me walking you through how to successfully invest in real estate. And honestly, when I share this with you, hopefully you are implementing the things that I'm telling you to do. I'm actually showing you, like, start doing this, start talking to property managers, find a great city to invest. Hopefully you're starting to do that. And by the time you have this next episode, and the next episode, hopefully you are actually investing or you have that business built. Now, let me tell you a little story. I love how stories help me to remember things even better. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. So, in the history of the world, nobody has ever run the mile, 1 mile, sprinted 1 mile in under 4 minutes in all recorded history. But it was amazing that in 1954, a gentleman by the name of Roger Bannister, he broke that 4 minute mile barrier by running in 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. Can you believe that? A human being running a mile in under 4 minutes, and he beat it by 0.6 seconds. So he barely beat it. And it was absolutely amazing. And it was earth shattering. And all the news clippings, all the, you know, TV, I don't know if they had TV back then, but anyways, it was breaking news that somebody had beat the 4 minute mile. But then questions started to arise really quickly after, you know, congratulating Roger. Then everybody started asking, well, could it be done again? And how long would it take before somebody else could do it? And honestly, even though no one had ever done it before, broken that 4 minute mile barrier before Roger, another person did it. Can you believe that? Running under 4 minutes, an entire mile. Well, Roger Bannister did it in 1954. Then there was a quote unquote competitor, or, you know, somebody that would be running next to him in track meets and everything, John Landy. John Landy was a contemporary of his, and he is the second person ever to break the 4 minute mile barrier. So John Landy actually beat Roger Bannister's record by running 1 mile in 3 minutes, 57.9 seconds. That is 1.5 seconds faster than Bannister. I mean, 1.5 seconds, that is lifetime. That takes a lifetime when it comes down to running. And you might be thinking, well, how long after this actually, you know, Roger ran it, how long after did John Landy do it? Well, June 21st, 1952, just 46 days after Bannister, John Landy broke the record. And it was earth-shattering because one person broke the record, and then really quickly, everybody realized, hey, it's possible. John Landy said, I now know that it's absolutely possible. He was trying to do it too, but he couldn't do it. But then when he knew that somebody else did it, he pushed even harder, and it proved that it can be done again. And since then, over 1,400 other men have broken that 4 minute mile barrier. Now, the reason why I tell this story is because, the reason why I have these episodes or this small series of four parts, and if you didn't listen to the first two, go back and listen to the first two episodes, like last 2 weeks, where I'm walking you through the entire process to invest in real estate, how you can be successfully employed. I started investing back in 2006, and that was before the crash. I invested through the crash, made more money, did not go bankrupt like everybody else because of how we invest to build income. and make sure we make cash flow every single month. And then now 30 plus properties later, apartment complexes, you know, 775 units and apartment complexes, the hotels, all these things I invest in, it's because I believed I can do it. And what I want you to realize is what one person can do, another person can do. You might be listening to the podcast, and honestly, I've even had people listen to my podcast for 2 years and never invest, and just really thinking, oh man, I wish I could, I wish I could. But you need to realize that mind barrier where it's stopping you from investing, honestly, it's just a barrier that you've put on yourself. You need to get around the right people. You need to make sure that you're starting to invest. You need to start analyzing and getting education, which you're doing with this podcast. But if it's been done before, this investing in real estate or breaking that 4-minute mile, honestly, what one person can do, another person can do. And honestly, real estate investing is not rocket science. In fact, my 16-year-old daughter bought her first property about 3 or 4 months ago. She's making, I think, close to $350 a month in passive income. And then she's saving all that money to buy the next property. And every single one of my 5 kids are doing that as well. In fact, my 13-year-old said, hey, dad, my Ellie, my sister, bought her property at 16. I'm going to beat her. I want to buy it at 15. I'm like, all right, son, let's go ahead and do it. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I want you to be investing. And the reason why I have this podcast is to coach you without you even paying me. I don't want you to pay me. I want you to invest. My goal is to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. And that's also a reason, because of my goal, my mission in life to help 1 million people, is to continue doing this podcast to give you all this information. And I don't do one-on-one coaching anymore. I just don't have time. Or it's more of like I have a lot of other things on my plate, like running large events, running my masterminds that I do, playing with my family, going golf, and you know, lifting weights, which I love to do. And I'm putting on my next mastermind. In fact, this might be my last mastermind, basically getting 20 people in a room with me. And this one, I'm having my personal mastermind guys, Michael Kwan, Adam Carroll, Tom Sylvester, amazing business owners and real estate investing. They are my personal mastermind. Like, we mastermind for the last 7 years together. And that's how I have grown so much that I have now, is because of all of us getting together. Well, I'm allowing you to come and join us. We're going to do our own personal mastermind for the first 2 days. And then the next 2 days, we're all going to hang around to help you to grow, if you haven't started investing, to invest, to scale your business, to become financially independent, getting you past hurdles and roadblocks. And also, it's not just us. I'm also bringing other amazing experts in real estate investing. Surprise people that when you get there, you're like, oh my goodness, look at this. Now, it's not going to be famous people, but you're going to see their portfolios. You're going to see how they invest, and your mind's going to be blown that there are so many other ways to invest in real estate. So you need to be with me at my mastermind. It's going to be in Denver in September. Check the link in the description. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind. Get your tickets. Join. I made it as cheap as possible because honestly, we're going to be at a hotel and they are so expensive. Hotels are so expensive. In fact, guess how much 1 gallon of coffee costs? Just guess. Like in your mind, I know you're probably driving or something. I'm talking to you saying in your mind, think, how much do you think a gallon of coffee would cost? Maybe $20 from hotel. Oh, it's more expensive. $30, $40. Nope. It is $150 a gallon. $150 a gallon. And so my goal is not to make money on the mastermind. It's really to get you there, but I got to cover the expenses. And so all the food is included, all the coffee is included. It is a mastermind that I'm putting on because I want to see you succeed. And so we are almost out of spots. I think we only have 3 or 4 more left. We have 20 spots. And so I want you to join us. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/mastermind and join us. Join me in Denver, Colorado for 2 days of amazing growth. Now, in today's show, this is the third episode of this series, 4-part series, showing you and walking you through every single step to invest in real estate. Now let's jump into this episode today where we're going to talk further and go into more depth on how to build your business. Now, I'm not going to go through a whole recap of the last few two shows. If you want to listen to those, go back and listen to those. I know there's so much information that I give that some people have to listen to a couple times, which is totally understandable. Plus, sorry, but I talk fast. I get excited. You know, it comes like, I mean, it sounds like it probably comes across that I'm really excited and not necessarily just for real estate. I don't get excited just, you know, for real estate, even though I really enjoy it. I love real estate, but I love what real estate affords me to do. Now, I realize I absolutely do not deserve the life that I have. You know, I wake up in the morning, go to the gym, come home, have breakfast, kiss my wife, and hang out with my kids. We homeschool, or my wife, she does the hard work of homeschooling. I have the easy job of making money. She has the hard job of homeschooling the kids. And so I have such an easy life, but I don't deserve it, but I keep wanting to give back. And this is why I have the podcast. Now, let's jump into today's episode. We're going to be talking about how to build your business in order to make the business run right. You know, it's so easy. In fact, it's the easiest thing to buy one property. Anybody can just go, you know, maybe the house next door to you or a block away or even 3,000 miles away. You can buy a house 3,000 miles away. It's really easy to do. Through technology, it makes it so, so simple. But that's probably not the right way to go. What you want to do is build the business first and then buy properties. Think of your property as a piece of inventory that you're putting into your business. If you don't build the business first, well, then you cannot sell that piece of inventory or rent that piece of inventory. So build the business first, and this is what we're going to be talking about. Now, last week, we talked about finding an area of the country to invest in. Now, if you want to listen to that, go back and listen to it. And I even have a video on there as well, how I even walk through on using Zillow.com to actually show you how I would find a brand new area of the country to invest. So go ahead and go to the show notes where you're going to see that video, and I'm going to walk you, like literally walk you through the step-by-step process, even show you how to analyze it. So go there and watch that video. Now, once you find an area of the country to invest, like I said, usually, the Midwest is a good area to invest in lower price homes, but rents are still pretty high, but there are properties everywhere. I even have another podcast episode where I talk with an investor who invests in Washington, D.C., which is like, that's where all the money goes into. Like all of our tax dollars go there. So it makes everything so expensive, but he still makes money, cash flow, passive income every single month from properties he's investing in Washington, D.C. And he has a super awesome way to do it. So there's ways to invest everywhere in the country. Now, what I suggest is you look for your goals. What are your goals and how are your means to achieve those goals? Like how much money do you have saved up? And how much money are you able to save in the future? And so when I work with my coaching students, we talk all about that. Like, well, number one, what are your goals? And then number two, these are your options. And that's the biggest thing I love to give all of my students are options. I personally hate being reactive. You know, reactive, something happens to you and you have to react. You maybe have, you have definitely one option, good or bad, you have one option, but you might have a second option, but you have very few outside of that because you're reacting. Now, when you're proactive, you have many, many options. That's something that I love to do for my students. I love to give them so many options that they basically can make the decision for themselves what's going to best fit their goals. And I want to make sure they see the options, they see the pitfalls and downfalls for each option, see the outcomes of each option, and then be able to run with that. And I'll also quickly go in and say, I love analyzing deals with my students and saying, hey, you know, this property, you know, it's a mobile home. You probably shouldn't want to go with that because it's a depreciating asset. Or, hey, this property, it's really funky. Like it's, in fact, I had one student email me a property and said, hey, can you check this property? And I looked at it and it's literally built into, and none of the other houses on the block are built into like this, but this house was built into the ground. Like, there was like a little cliff, not a cliff, it was maybe like a little hill. Well, somebody built it like a Hobbit Shire, like if you think of Lord of the Rings, like Bilbo Baggins' lair. It was built like that. And I was like, dude, that is so weird. I mean, if it was like a neighborhood full of these, then maybe, you know, if we were living in Australia, maybe, or New Zealand, maybe. But no, you're going to have a hard time renting this out. Anyways, so yeah, that's what I love to do. And now we're going to be talking out past finding the area of the country to invest, once you found a city in a state, a particular state that you want to invest in, the next step is to then get your financing in order and start building the business, not finding properties. I know it's so easy to jump into Zillow and get lost in Zillow looking at homes. And I want to pause for just a quick second and say thank you so much for listening to the show. If you've gotten anything out of the show, I would appreciate it if you went to anywhere that you listen to, let's say Apple or Spotify or wherever, and leave a 5-star review. Honestly, I really appreciate you leaving an honest review. I just love giving all this information out and I want to see you succeed. Also, send this to one person. Just tell one person and say, hey, Dustin wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. You need to listen to this because it's going to change your life. Lastly, get my real estate investing course completely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L. Rental to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course showing you everything in the business so that you can become financially independent. Now, here's one thing I will tell you. You want to make sure that there are properties that you would potentially want to buy in this particular city. Now, remember, we drilled down from, you know, the country to the state. Now we're looking at the city, and you will even get down into the neighborhood. But you want to make sure in that particular city, you're not finding a one-off property that is an amazing deal, but you're never going to find another one like that again. My suggestion is find a city that has very similar homes so that you can continually buy more inventory and put that into that business. Because the hardest part is building the business so that it runs itself. So you're not actually doing the work yourself. That's the last thing you want to do. You want to be playing with your kids or, you know, traveling the world or helping people or, you know, serving people or whatever it might be. You would rather be doing that than doing the work. So you want to build a business first, and then all of the inventory that you could put into the business, you want to make sure that's there. Now the next step, because you have the state, you need to start looking at your financing. How you're going to get financing, you know, a mortgage. How are you going to get a mortgage to buy this property? Now, if you have cash to buy a property, that is absolutely fantastic. In fact, one suggestion I have for all my students, because they asked me, well, I have a lot of money for a down payment. That's, you know, I won't say the specific number, but let's say they have a lot of money for a down payment or multiple down payments. Should I do that? Or should I buy one property with all cash? Well, here's a pro tip I'm going to give you. As you're building your business, you're going to start with, because more, if you're like me, you don't start with a lot of money. You're going to start with getting a mortgage. And then you're going to get another property with another mortgage. And then you're going to get another property with another mortgage. Eventually, your business is going to be big enough to where you can then buy properties with cash and then refinance the money, pull it out, and then buy another property and recycle that money over and over again. I've done that so many times. It's absolutely fantastic. I love doing that process. Now, you eventually get to there. If you can start with buying with properties with cash, start there. Like, do that. And you definitely want to do that, because then you could refinance the money, pull the money back out, put it into another property, and keep doing that. So that's my pro tip to give you. If you can start with buying cash, definitely do that. But if you're like me, most of us, we can't. We have to get a mortgage. Now, in each particular state, you're going to have a mortgage broker. Now, let's say you're investing in Indianapolis, in Indiana. Let's say you're going to start investing there. That's one in particular state. Now, a mortgage broker in New Jersey is not going to be able to lend unless they're qualified or certified. I can't remember exactly the wording, but like the state has to approve them to be able to sell loans or resell or however they say it, but basically broker loans for you. So you need to find a mortgage broker, or in my opinion, 2 or 3 mortgage brokers in that particular state who can lend in that state. Because if you find a mortgage broker in Florida, but you're buying in Indiana, they're not going to be able to help you. Now, they'll be able to give you a reference and say, and this is a pro tip I'm going to give you, whoever you are currently working with that you actually enjoy, like, hey, this is a good person, more than likely they have other contacts and they have other networking type people that they network with, and they would be referred from their state over to them and vice versa. Ask your current mortgage broker if you already have one. Hey, do you know anybody in this particular state? I'm going to be investing there. I want to buy there. Or do you have the ability to lend over there as well? They might very well have the ability to do that. But you need to make sure that the mortgage broker, or the 2 or 3 mortgage brokers, that they have the ability to lend in that particular state. Now, let's stick with Indiana. Let's say you want to start investing in Indiana and you find two or three mortgage brokers. My suggestion is go with three, and it's really simple. Somebody might say, well, how do I find a mortgage broker? I love technology and the internet. It makes investing so easy. Just type, go to Google. I mean, do people still use Yahoo anymore? I mean, is Yahoo still around? I was watching a movie last night with my kids, and it was called National Treasure. If you remember that movie, National Treasure, with Nicolas Cage, well, they do a Yahoo search for something. I think it was like, you know, the Passon Stowe Bell, you know, Liberty Bell and all that sort of stuff. And they went to Yahoo and did a search. But I'm like, man, this is 2019. I think it was made back in like 2002 or something like that. Do people still use Yahoo? Anyways, I kind of digress. But go to a search engine, and I'll give you a pro tip. This is my own personal pro tip. I like going to search engines that don't track what I do, just because, like I've said many times in the past, I'm a very, you know, rogue type of person. I'm an American, so that makes me like, if you tell me like you have to do this, I'm going to try to figure out a way not to do it. That's just how my personality is. So I don't want to be tracked. I don't want Google to know what I'm doing. I don't want Bing or Yahoo or anything, or even the government possibly knowing what I'm doing. So what I like to do, I go to DuckDuckGo. Go.com. Just like it sounds, like, you know, duck, duck, goose, but duckduckgo.com. It's a search engine that they tout, or they say, and they love the fact that they do not track you doing anything. They don't track anything that you do to try to sell it to Google or sell it to anywhere else. And so I love not being tracked. So I use, and this is a pro tip, use duckduckgo.com to do your searches and type in mortgage broker in the particular state that you are wanting to invest. So mortgage broker Indiana or Indianapolis, because they might be in a specific city, but it doesn't matter because it's the entire state. Now, as you're going to be talking and interviewing these mortgage brokers, you're going to be asking things like, and here's a list, you're going to be asking for the type of fees that they're going to charge, what type of points they're going to charge, what type of interest rate they're going to be charging. And they're all these questions, well, we have to run your credit first. And here's a huge pro tip I'm going to give you. Every mortgage broker is going to say to you, well, I need to run your credit score in order to tell you what rate you're going to get and what terms and all that sort of stuff. Here's a big pro tip, big, big pro tip. Anytime you run a credit check on yourself, if anybody, a credit card, a mortgage, or whatever, that gives you a ding on your credit. Now, they're going to say, oh, it doesn't do it. It's a soft hit and blah, blah, blah. They're going to say all that crap. Well, just tell them, well, you know what? When I'm ready, I will give you my Social Security. I know my current credit score, and it is 720 or 640 or 520 or whatever it might be, whatever your credit score is. Now, you should know, and I don't lie, because, you know, when you actually do run your credit, they're going to definitely check and it's going to come back. So give it whatever it is as close as possible. And the last time I did it, it was quite a while ago, but it was like, I was had like a 720 or 718 credit score. And I said, well, run it as if it's 715, you know, 715 points on my credit score. Just give me a rough numbers for that. And I'm not going to hold you to that because I know it's contingent on me giving you and having you run a credit score. So a big pro tip, don't give them your Social Security number until you're actually ready to get the mortgage and actually get the appraisal on the property and you're going to move forward. Like, don't do that until, don't give them your Social Security number and have them run a credit until you're actually ready to move forward. So that's a huge pro tip I'll give you, because every time you run it, it's going to ding it. It's going to get lower and lower, and you want that to be as high as possible. Now, when you are working with a mortgage broker, you want to have a few things already ready, because they're going to be asking for these things when you are ready to move forward. You want to have two most recent paycheck stubs, because basically they want to make sure that you have the ability to pay back your loan, because even though it's going for an investment, view it like that. They don't see you buying a property as an investment. You might tell them, but they don't care. They want to make sure that you can pay it on your own. So the debt to income ratio, they're going to work that out, like how much debt do you have versus, and how much you have to pay out versus how much income do you make in. So your two most recent paycheck stubs, make sure you have that. You're also going to need to give them your last year's tax returns. You know, they're going to say, well, if you lied on your tax returns, you're lying to the government. What are you lying to us about? So you want to make sure your tax returns are legit. Obviously, do not lie. As investors, we do not go over the laws and the IRS and the codes and all that sort of stuff. We use the codes, the IRS rules, to
offset our taxes to pay less in taxes, but we don't break the law. So make sure that when you're doing your tax returns, you're having everything accounted for, you're doing everything right. Next thing you're going to want to have is 2 months of your bank statements. Now, that could be every bank statements. Now, I have many bank accounts, like all over the place, many different companies, many different banks, like, and in many different accounts. And so what you want to do is make sure you have where the money is coming from, where the down payment's coming from. You're going to want to have the 2 months of bank statements providing adequate funds to pay for the down payment and to show that you have money, and you have money basically ready to pay off anything that they might need you to. So any money that you have, you want to make sure all those bank statements are supplied, ready for them when they need it. Now, any stocks, mutual funds, investments, or anything that reports earnings for you or income for you, you want to have that as well. You want to have that ready because you basically want to show your financial ability to pay off the loan. And then also you want to show them that you're financially smart, you know, that you have investments. If you do, I'm not saying that you have to have these, but you want to be able to show them everything that you've been doing with your money so you can show them that you are a worthy person to borrow money from them so that they can make money off of you. So get your financing in order. Now, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to be talking to the mortgage broker and you're going to be getting the rates, the fees, how many points you're going to have to get to give up. And a point is basically a percentage. So if they say it's 2 points, that's 2% of the entire loan amount is a payment towards it. So that, you know, talk to your mortgage broker, they'll fill you in on that, but you're going to figure out the points and also your interest rates. Now, what you're going to do after that is once you are ready, once you know how much money you're going to be able to borrow, and let's say you have the ability to borrow $150,000 for an investment property. Well, you want to then get a pre-qualification letter. That's the next thing. From this company, now you're going to have to, if to have a letter of intent, more than likely they're going to have to run your credit because they're actually intending to lend you money. But you're going to use that letter of intent after they run your credit, after you know that you're ready to go with them. This from this bank, let's say Bank Alpha. Bank Alpha says, hey, for Joe Smith, I'm going to approve or pre-approve for the loan of $150,000. So you, as the seller, it's okay for you to enter into a contract with this buyer because we have approved them for this amount of money. And that is basically what a pre-qualification letter does for you. It shows that you're pre-qualified for a loan. So anytime you put an offer in on a property, you have the available funds or a letter saying that you have the available funds to buy the property. So when I sell homes and somebody comes to me with an offer, but they don't prove that they have the ability to buy it, I usually don't accept that. Or I ask them, I need proof of funds, or I need a qualification letter that a bank has for you, because I want to make sure that if I go through a 30-day or longer, 45-day escrow period, I want to make sure that the bank actually has the money ready to lend this person so that they can then buy the house. I don't want to go through a process, an escrow process for 30 or 45 days and have it fall through because the buyer cannot actually buy the property. So that's what you want to make sure you have is a pre-qualification letter. Make sure you have that. Now, next up, once you have your financing ready, once you have your pre-qualification letter, they're ready to move forward whenever you find a property. The next step in the city that you're going to be investing, you need to find a property manager. And this is what you're doing now, is you're building the business that's going to be on the ground working for you in that particular city. Now, I've given many, many other podcast shows where I talk extensively on property managers, so go back and find those. So we're not going to go heavily into finding property managers, but what I'm going to suggest to you is you want to interview and as many as you can, like as many property managers as you can inside this area. Like, don't think of this as homework that you try to skip over. Like, don't think of, man, Dustin's telling me to get 6 property managers and interview all of them. I'm just going to go 2 or 3. Like, don't do that. If I can give you any pro tip, don't skimp on time when it comes to a property manager. So spend as much time finding the right property manager as needed, as necessary. The last thing you want is a bad property manager that's going to be bad for your business, stealing from you, bad communication, you can't trust and all that. You don't want somebody like that, especially if you're thousands of miles away from the property. So you want to make sure that you interview more property managers than less. Like, don't go with two. Try to get five or six property managers that you can actually interview. I'm going to give you another pro tip. Man, I guess this whole episode's got a ton of pro tips inside of it. But another pro tip I have for you is you want to hire slow, but fire fast. So remember that. Hire slow and fire fast. When you know somebody is stealing from you, or it's time for them to move on, or you just can't work with them anymore, fire them fast. Don't prolong it. Don't delay. Get it done. I've learned the hard way. You want to fire fast. But the big thing is hire slow. You want to make sure that this property manager is going to be somebody that is going to be sticking around with you for 5, 10, 15 years. I hate changing over property managers. And so I want my property manager to be managing my property year after year after year, so I don't have to worry about it. So find a good property manager that knows the area that's going to be a good part of your business. Next, I want you to find, as you're building your business, find three realtors. Find three, maybe four realtors. Now, here's the easy thing to do is find a realtor. That's so easy. Anybody is a realtor. Actually, they let anybody become a realtor. They just have to take a little test and they become a realtor. Now, the hard part is finding investor realtors. Realtors that work with investors like us, that they want cash flow, like other investors that want to make passive income. They know what a property looks like. They're not concerned about the curtains and, you know, the paint color that's already there. Like, hey, these curtains are pretty. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be cooking in this kitchen? No, I don't care. I'm not going to be cooking in the kitchen. I have tenants that are going to be living in the tenant or in the property. So why would I care about me cooking in the kitchen? I've had realtors really treat me like I'm a homeowner, and I have to pause and tell them, I'm not a homeowner. I want an investment property. I don't mind putting money into it so I can get equity capture on it. So I capture the equity, then I raise the equity up by doing forced appreciation, by fixing up the property. I don't mind doing that. And so, and also, I'm not going to be living there. So I want you to find a property for me that is going to make me money every single month. And so a pro tip I'm going to give you, and there's other many other ways, and in my Ultimate Real Estate Investing System, I talk you through how to actually find good realtors. But one thing you can do is when you call realtors, you call up any realtor, ask them the question, basically, do you know how to find investment properties that invest in cash flow? I'm a cash flow investor. Can you find me properties that do actually provide cash flow? So ask that question. Depending on their response, they may be like, or they may be great and say, yes, absolutely. You want passive income every single month? Well, you want to make sure that your rents are higher than your expenses? Absolutely. I can find properties for you like that. So be calling and interviewing realtors. Now, realtors are a dime a dozen. In fact, I sometimes don't even use realtors. The next step that I want you to do in building your business is to find three wholesalers. Find three wholesalers that are going to find properties for you. Wholesalers are basically realtors without the license. That's really, and the brokerage. That's really all it comes down to. They are, in my opinion, even one step better. They, number one, find the sellers. They don't just wait for somebody to call them on the phone. Hey, I'm going to sell my house for top dollar. Can you come, you know, list it on the MLS? Wholesalers, like realtors, find sellers of properties, but they also find buyers and they try to match the two together. Now, what's great about wholesalers is they work with people who not necessarily are ready to sell at the moment, because usually what happens when somebody's ready to sell a property, they call up a realtor and say, hey, realtor, I want to sell my property for top dollar. Well, that's not what wholesalers rely on. They rely on finding off-market properties, basically properties that people are, you know what, I probably should sell. Well, they talk to them and say, yes, you absolutely should. And this is how much you can get for it. And anyways, wholesalers are fantastic. I've bought many properties off of wholesalers. And I'll give you a huge, huge pro tip. Now, I usually reserve this only for my Ultimate Real Estate Investing System, but how to find wholesalers, I'm going to give this to you. This is a tip inside my Ultimate Real Estate Investing System, but I'm going to give it to you. If you want to find wholesalers, there is an easy, easy way to find wholesalers. If you live anywhere near and you're driving through the area and you see signs that are, they're called bandit signs. It says, I buy houses cash. I buy houses fast, like any shape, ugly properties we buy or whatever it might be. When you see those signs that give a phone number that says we will buy houses or I will buy houses, any shape, any size for cash, Those are wholesalers. That's what wholesalers, that's their calling card. Basically, write down that number, call them up and say, I'm an investor, I'm a buyer. Could you put me, or would you please put me on the buyer's list? And the wholesaler will say, absolutely, yes. They love finding buyers because that's what helps them to turn their inventory and make money. If they don't have buyers, they're not going to make money. So find three wholesalers. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more ways to find properties, either through a realtor, a wholesaler. Next step would be find investment property deals through websites. Now, here's one I'm going to give you, and I'll put this in the description. Go to Roofstock. Roofstock is a marketplace where people list their properties, investment properties, and Roofstock does due diligence. They basically, due diligence is making sure that everything lines up. You know, they make sure how much it can rent for. They find property managers. They find all the expenses. They run inspections. Like, they basically do everything for you. Now, I will say, if you use Roofstock, what you want to do is obviously do all your own due diligence after you verify what they have put in the system. You look at everything, then run your own numbers, do your own inspections. This is just giving you a huge leg up, a great way to find properties. So literally every single person listening to the podcast, I want you to go to masterpassiveincome.com/Roofstock. It is a free service for you, and it's a phenomenal service. I have so many investing students that actually use Roofstock because it is a fantastic service. Now, obviously, do your due diligence, run your own numbers and do your own inspections, but this is a huge, huge advantage that we've never had as investors. So go to masterpassiveincome.com/roof, R-O-O-F-S-T-O-C-K, Roofstock, all one word. Now, that's one website that is free, fantastic service. I even would prefer that over Zillow because it is fantastic. Your next option is going to Zillow.com, Zillow.com. If you go to Zillow.com, you will be able to find properties on there that are on the MLS that even people have listed as for sale by owners and things like that. So go to Zillow.com. You'll be able to type in your search criteria. And in fact, if you go to the show notes of this show today, masterpassiveincome.com/063. And again, I'll put these in the description. Sorry for throwing all these URLs at you, but I'll have a video. I do have a video in there where you will be able to watch how to find properties on Zillow. It's fantastic. Your next way is the MLS, the Multiple Listing Service. The Multiple Listing Service basically is anytime anybody goes to a realtor and says, I want to sell my house, well, that realtor then puts it on the MLS. And that MLS is available for everybody to see. Every other realtor sees those properties. So you can go to the MLS. If you have one realtor, they'll put you in the MLS to find properties. Another huge pro tip I'm going to give you is Craigslist.org. Craigslist.org. It's basically a classified ad for everything, anything and everything. And you can find properties on Craigslist.com to buy. So that's a huge option for you. So go to masterpassiveincome.com/roofstock for Roofstock. Go to Zillow.com, Craigslist.org, and use your realtor to get on the MLS. Now, this is wrapping up this show because we had to talk about so much about financing, getting that ready, and finding properties. Now, next week, we're talking about making offers on properties, working with title companies, all that great stuff. After you find a property, how do we get that into your business so you can start making money? All right, guys, so get out there. I want you to get that free course, masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Get in there so you can start learning right now. And as always, guys, thank you so much for being here with me. I really, really appreciate you. If you like this episode, if you got anything out of it at all, would you please share it with one person? It would really help me out. I love meeting more people and helping more people invest in real estate. All right, guys, let's get out there, start investing, start implementing the things I've already been talking the last three shows so that you can start investing. We'll see ya. And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.